I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, was, and is to come. These words of revelation are spoken. We hear them in the opening verses of the book of Revelation, the words of God, and they echo for us the words that begin the Gospel of John, where the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. Today in the church, we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, a theological declaration that in all the powers of this world, Christ reigns supreme. King of kings, Lord of lords. That in Christ, God is staking a claim and saying, no matter what else, Christ's kingdom will prevail. I am the one who is, was, and is to come. The Alpha, the first word of the Greek alphabet, and the Omega, the last letter of the alphabet. And yet, as we take an honest look at our world, it is clear that there are many things that are not as God would have them be. It's hard to make the claim that God's kingdom has prevailed when children suffer, when disease runs rampant, when violence and war and greed are everywhere we look. And yet, we declare that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, God's victory has already been achieved. And so we live this side of heaven in an already but not yet dynamic. In hope and faith, we declare that God will ultimately be victorious, contrary to the facts in our lives. That's what being a person of faith means, that we are not going to get filled with despair because the election didn't go the way we wanted. Rather, we cling to the hope that is Jesus' death and resurrection, and we proclaim that God's kingdom will come to fruition on earth as it already is in heaven. This is what it means to be a person of faith who has eyes to see reality. It's already true, and yet not yet realized. And so we stand today in that in-between kind of moment. Christ the King, this idea that Christ is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, is throughout our gospel text. But it was Pope Pius XI who declared that the final Sunday, which if you didn't know, today's the church version of New Year's Eve. So Advent starts next week. That is the first Sunday of the liturgical calendar. So Christ the King is the last Sunday of the year. And Pope Pius XI made this declaration official in 1925. So for almost 2,000 years, this idea that Christ was king, King of all kings, had ultimate power, even if it would be realized in God's future, that all power would be under Christ's control. But no previous pope had made a declaration and said, we need to recognize this specific theological point on this particular day. So what happened in 1925 that made the Pope make this declaration that Christ the King, should be a celebrated day in the church, and it should be the last day of the church year to remind people that Christ is coming and will reign over all the powers of the earth. Well, it was due to a rising secularism and ultra-nationalism that the Pope decided that we need to remind the faithful that Christ is king. So when people have a diminishing understanding of God in the world, God in their life, secularism, which we're still in that vein, right? We see a diminishing influence of religion and God in people's lives. And ultranationalism, what is that? It sort of, in the absence of God as the power and the authority for people's lives, people tend to get tribal. We tend to think it's us versus them, and that my country is the best, and therefore everyone else's country must be inferior. So this is on the heels of World War I and getting ready, you know, in short amount of time, World War II. And I don't need to remind you of the history there, other than the Pope was making a powerful statement. Don't give your ultimate allegiance and place your ultimate trust in your government or your leader. Place it in Christ. Christ is the King of Kings. Christ is the ultimate authority for our life. I think these words ring true today, as they did in 1925 and they did the day Jesus was confronted by Pilate. Jesus is brought to Pilate. Pilate is the governor appointed by Rome to reign and to control Jerusalem and its surrounding areas. And this is Holy Week, so all the pilgrims have come to celebrate Passover. And so there's a huge crowd, and Pilate's under tremendous pressure, and they bring Jesus to him with the accusation that he claimed to be a king. So Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And they have this back and forth dialogue. And I think Jesus' most insightful thing, if we want to understand what does it mean to say Christ is king, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world, for if it was, my followers would be fighting to get me released right now." Rather, Jesus submits in all of his power, and I've said it before, I'll say it now. Jesus was the most powerful person who's ever lived. He had all the powers of God at his disposal. With one word, not only could Jesus be released from Pilate, but he could control everything. But with all of Jesus' power, with all of the power and might of God, Jesus submits himself, gives himself on the cross for us. With his power, he gives us salvation. Of course, Pilate doesn't understand this. Pilate understands strength and dominance, power and violence. So when Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world, and if it was, all of my followers would be fighting," Pilate goes, "Well, yeah, that's what kings do. When kings are threatened, they fight with their armies. They tell their armies to go fight." That's not what Jesus does. In the kingdom of God, it's love that prevails. In God's kingdom, every person is valued. Whatever country they come from, they are seen as a child of God. There's no room for nationalism. We are all one human family. This day, Christ the King, is one where we celebrate in advance. Because it's not always clear and evident that God's kingdom is prevailing. We don't have to look far to find examples of people in power who use violence and dominance and exploitation to keep themselves in power. It's true throughout human history. And yet, saying Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords is a powerful declaration of faith and maybe even of protest to say, that's not the way God would have us be. I choose to see it differently, and I choose to believe that God has a higher calling for all of us, where God's love wins. And we know that is true because of Jesus' death on the cross, his rising from the grave, and opening up to us and the world the promise of eternal life and salvation. Not because we've won the fight, but because Jesus stands in our place. This is powerful good news. Challenges our thinking, but can give us the hope that it will be realized. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, and all things will come under the rule of Christ. And for that, we give God thanks. Amen.